Or he said, I would have you know, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Now then, anybody's theme verse would be, if you're in the will of God, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I give you seven things that if I were to live my life over, I would not want to change. There are some things about my life that I still like. I never have fallen out with them. You see, people, they think because you're bulldogmatic, confident, sure of your ground, that you're a little on the arrogant side, a bit conceited, maybe hard to get along with. But you see, I got the advantage over a lot of these young squirts today. Mama gave me a King James Version and said, now, if you're going to preach that.
Amen.
So, Brother D.H., I was right when I started. And I just kept on staying with it. That was before the smart aleks came along. And so, while they were rewriting, I was rereading. I've never found anything that works like that book. The converts and the fruit is amazing to me. You think of walking in and out among 700 people, most of whom have the victory and live over on the shores of sweet deliverance. Now, to me, that's a miracle. Nobody else could do anything with them, but Jesus did. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. Number one, I wouldn't change my mother and dad. I wouldn't swap them off for somebody else's mother and dad. They were not educated, but they were good people. They were simple people. They loved me. They stayed together. They never did go to divorce court. I didn't say they didn't ever fuss. They had a number of fusses. But they never did swap each other off. I wouldn't swap my mother and dad for anybody else's. Number two, I would not change where I was born and reared, out on a farm with cows and chickens and a 9-yard cotton sack and a gooseneck hoe and work and sweat and overalls and an old-fashioned daddy that saw to it that I was hyperactive. If I ever lost my hyperactivity, I was in trouble with my daddy. And the way he cured my hyperactivity was to get me up at 4 in the morning and then milk the cows at dark and eat after dark, and my hyperactivity was all over with. I was ready to lay down and go to sleep. Now, I said I wouldn't change it. Number three, I don't think I'd change a little old one-room church where an old-fashioned preacher came, hollered out loud, and preached the gospel, and I got saved. And to the tune of, oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. My mother and daddy stood on the banks of the old Lewis Taylor tank, and they were all singing. And a little old freckle-faced boy was led off in the water to bury him with Christ. And the Lord had saved me. And so I wouldn't change that salvation experience. That's the best one I ever had. And the only one I ever had. I've never needed to get saved or born again. So there's some things I'm well satisfied with. Number four, I like this one. I'd never change my call to preach. The greatest thing that ever happened to me after I got saved was when God surprised the whole community and called Lester Leo to preach. There's only one person that lived in the world at that time that was not surprised, and that was my mama. And she'd had some secret conferences with the Lord about that. But she never would tell me nothing. I finally told her one day, she said, "Lester, sonny boy, I prayed that you'd be a preacher." And I said, "Why didn't you tell me you was praying along that line?" She said, "I wanted the Lord to tell you instead of me." I believe if I'd have just been mama called, I'd have quit a long time ago. I'm thoroughly satisfied with my call to preach. Number five, I'm completely satisfied with the message of the King James Version. I've never had any desire for any book better. And at the age of 68, I've lost my appetite for all the other books. No newspapers, no magazines, no television. I just don't need all that because I got something so much better. I'd be a wasting my time to peep at Hollywood when I can be a peeping straight into heaven. We're a bunch of nuts to watch that bunch of hussies and homos on those three sewer lines. Why don't y'all wake up anyhow? Realize they've even admitted that they have demoralized and brutalized a generation of people. 43 years ago, when that monster raised up her head, I balled up my fist and hit at it. I said, "That's the end time stick, big stick of the devil." I was right about it. It ruins your school system. It ruins your home. It paralyzed the pulpits. Gave lockjaw to the modernists today. And so she's done her work, boys. Never been a revival since two things. I'd say the Siamese twins of the devil are television and the Revised Standard Version. That introduced the atmosphere for humanism right there, because they said, "We don't want to say thee, thou, and thine anymore. We want to get a little closer and pull him down on the sandlot where he can play ball with us." See, God is not holy and high and majestic anymore. You better watch that. This has been the generation that introduced us to the old man upstairs. You better watch out, brother. He's more than that. I wonder what happened to "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Wonder what happened to holy. What happened to the holy day? I notice the stores all up on Sunday now. You know why? Church members go down and trade with them. You know why restaurants open on Sunday? Well, you ought to know, so somebody come down and give them some money and eat. Christians don't have any business doing that. That's the reason I'm just tickled to death. And I think one of the greatest things that happened in Texas is when the cowboys went on strike. Boy, it's marvelous. It'll quit tempting a bunch of worldly outfits to watch them and go out there and see them. You see, that proves that they're interested in one thing, and that's M-O-N-E-Y, money. Boy, when I was coming up, we played for fun. Boy, we had a time. We'd cut a limb off a tree, make a grip on the handle. My grandma would give us a bunch of old yarn socks, and we'd unravel and make a ball. We'd go out there in the cow pasture, and we had the ball game from out of this world. That's the reason I like big families. Uncle John, Aunt Emma, and all that other bunch. I mean, Aunt Noler and Aunt Doler and Uncle Henry and Uncle Ide and Uncle Bob and Aunt Laura. Man, they had a house full of young'uns. They just, one family come, we had a whole ball team, buddy. Oh, hear me. Folks, I'm glad God gave me the right message. Number six, I'm glad the Lord called me to do three things: to pastor a church, to be an evangelist, and to build homes for people in trouble. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give 999 of them to preaching, to be an evangelist and to building homes for people in trouble. 999. I know your curiosity is working on you. What would you do with that other one? He'd have to be a lawyer to keep the 999 out of jail. That's right. Folks, I wouldn't swap. Oh, I wouldn't trade the tremendous calling the Lord has given. Number seven, I would never change God's plan. Now the just shall live by faith. And I want to say now, if living by faith doesn't work 24 hours from right now, we're sunk and closed. Would you believe that? That's just how serious it is. We've come to the D-Day. I mean, this is 00 for our work right now. You know one of the reasons I just tell you? Did you know that we lost $100,000 in October because I decided to take a stand for righteousness in government? They said he ought not to mention who he wants for governor. Now, folks, get this straight. I've never spent one penny of God's money. I've never spent one penny of mine because I don't have any. I'm flat broke, no bank account, nothing. I mean absolutely nothing. Therefore, all the letters I put out, all the work I've done, some friends paid for it. And I guarantee you, when God gives me influence, I'm going to use it. My influence in Texas came as a result of old-fashioned Bible conviction. And if I happen to be what they call me, the most influential and the most powerful political man in Texas, I want to use it for the glory of God. And I'm going to run every rat I can out of office. That bunch of baby butchers and that bunch of modernists and sodomites and lesbians, I put the death knell on them. They have no right. I came from Houston last night. We were there twice yesterday. 4 o'clock, Johnny Pope. He's still making an assault with an attempt to preach. We dedicated a tremendous church building yesterday with Johnny Pope. Went over to Greenwood Village last night. Folks, Houston, can you imagine a city of 2 million almost people run by a woman and sodomites and lesbians? That's the one city they've marked to take over, just like they did in California. And they're making great headway. And there's not a sodomite or a lesbian that's going to vote for the crowd that I'm voting for. They're lined up solid for the liberals. We face a real serious time on Tuesday. You put it down. We better get some good men in if we want 4 years more of liberty and protection in this state. But the just shall live by faith. Now then, I'd like to mention some things. If I were to live my life over, and I don't have time to finish this, I would avoid 7 things. Number one, I'd try to dodge the crooks, especially the born-again bunch, so-called. Now, I could enlarge on that a whole lot. There were 3 crooks that got me mixed up with Big Sandy. 3 crooks. Would you like me to name them? No, I won't do that now. One of them's dead. He died a very violent death. And the other 2 are marked. It's amazing how that I've survived But you'll have to give me credit for one thing, Brother D.H. I've been a plunger. You've never seen any grass grow under my feet. Never. I've been on the move for 68 years. And this year, I'm flying a single-engine plane 700 hours. That's the most I've ever flown in my life in one year. You say, why? The cause demands it. Not because I just want to go like that day and night, but the cause is worthy. I said I'd avoid some people. That'd have been a great disappointment. I'll tell you something else I would avoid. I would never become a denominational cog. I would never get tied up in organized religion. Because organized religion is the one that closed our homes down. There came a day when if God was going to bless me, I had to do what I knew to do, and that was to get out. And so I got out of the union. And that's when the Lord began to bless us in a miraculous way. Number three, if I had my life to live over, 50 years ago, I would have located a better way to eat, to live, and not have been sick. But I didn't know it. 38 years ago, at the end of my trail physically, it would have soon been over. The Lord began to reveal to me Bible wisdom concerning the temple of the Holy Spirit. Eating, drinking, exercising, trusting, believing, praying for the sick, believing that God would supply all of our needs. And so I got out of the medical racket. I refused to go the aspirin route and to get in the chemical straitjacket. They'd already operated on me, I believe, 3 times. And so, folks, I learned some. I found out that everything I need's in this book. This is all the drugstore you'll ever need, really. Oh, you'd say, I wish you hadn't said it. I already said it. If I had my life to live over, there are some people I'd never neglect. And this is the test of your Christian experience. Little children, old people, poor people, and lost people. If you'll get up to those four and love them real good, they may not give you as much money, but God will give you a heap of joy if you look after those people. You know, I read yesterday of an old, old, old teacher. 86 years old she was. And she got a letter from a fellow by the name of William that was in her class. She taught school over 50 years. And he got to thinking about his teacher. And somebody said, that precious old soul is still living. And she loved Jesus. And she was such a blessing to him. He sat down and wrote her a letter. And this thing touched my heart when I read it yesterday. And she answered the letter. And he said, I just want to thank you, Miss called her name. Said you were such a help to me when I was a little boy. And she sat down and wrote him, Dear Willie, after teaching over 50 years, and I'm an old lady, 86, and I live alone. And I fix my own meals and do my own cooking and look after myself. And out of all the pupils I've had in all of my 50 years of teaching, you're the only one that ever wrote me and said it cheered my old heart today and made me so glad. You made my day, son, when you wrote me a letter. Listen, ingratitude grins in the face of God in America today. And we're losing now what it cost so much for our pilgrim forefathers to purchase for us. The Constitution of the United States is despised, and the law of the Lord has been voted out of the public school system. Even Thanksgiving at the table said, oh, no, couldn't have. America has turned out to be a nation of sinners and ingrates, and God's not going to bless us. Let me close real quickly by saying, if I were to begin my life over, my ministry 50 years ago, number one, I would not ignore, I could not ignore the importance of Bible reading and memorizing. Memorizing a chapter a month, it'll make your life over. I believe that Russia may come before this year's over. I believe she's got what it takes to take America over within a matter of 60 minutes, not more than 60 minutes. I believe that we can be a vessel of Moscow any minute, or either face the consequences. The number one thing that'll go will be this book right here. They'll give me my choice when they walk through these doors and said, now you drop it and stomp it, or the bullet will be there in a matter of seconds. Reckon how many of the congregation stay with me if Brother Olof said, just shoot straight. Jesus means more to me, and this book means more. And I'd just like to place it right over my heart and see if your bullet wants to go through it. Fire away. Now, there'd be no other choice to make. The state came and asked me to throw my Bible away. They said, we've got your rules and regulations. We've got your minimum standards. Now, here they are. And I said, no, sir. I had no choice. They said, you don't have to go to jail. All you got to do is just take a license, Brother Olof. Everybody else has one. I said, that doesn't make a difference. Did it ever dawn on you that the majority has always been wrong? Did you know that 10 out of 12 spies were wrong? Did you know that the majority was wrong when they nailed Jesus on the cross? And said, if you sign that Constitution, we're going to get you. And they did. Fame, fortune, and family had to go. And yet, they gave us the Constitution from this book right here. And as I close this message, I'd like to say, stay with your prayer, your Bible reading, your soul winning, and your giving. Those are the marks that will make a great Christian, or reveal the fact that you love Jesus. Have you trusted Him? Do you know Him with all your heart? I don't know when my heart's been so challenged as it was by all those Latin Americans that came in today and yet hungry for the same Christ. I'm glad there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Students, members of this church, preachers, stay with the book. Preach it, live it, practice it. The closing days are going to see the battle between the book and also the look. Separation and the right book. And the right book brings the right look. Standards must be maintained if we're going to be Bible Christian. Now then, one last Bible word, and that is, after they were illuminated, they endured a great fight of affliction. You're not going to make it now the next 5 years. It'll be too rough for you unless you got this book. The next 5 years will be the most difficult years America's ever seen. Internal strife, shattered of homes and faith and dead churches across this country. The Bible famine that Amos talked about is now crossing the country. You better get the book and stay with it. My hope is built on nothing less than the Jesus and righteousness. I dare not good. But on Jesus Christ, on Christ, saying, on. Amen. Oh, thank him, son. Won't you bow your heads? I realize it's past 12. That means nothing.